I would ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Gospel of John and chapter 8 and verse 36. The Gospel of John and chapter 8 and verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Made free by the Son of God. The second person in the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. Now, the craving for a sense of freedom motivates the direction of much of society's objectives today. Freedom from restraint, freedom from morality, freedom from responsibility, freedom from work, freedom from reality, escapism into another world on the internet, freedom to express yourself according to the dictates of the natural mind, the desires of the flesh. In the context of our text, the Jews considered themselves free simply because of their nationality. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And this is the cry of society today. We are free. We govern our rights. We govern what we want to do. How do you have the right to speak to us about truth and the word of God? And morality. How can you say to us, you will be free through the truth, through the gospel, through the Lord Jesus Christ? We are free. We are human beings. We have a will. We have a mind. Now in the context, Jesus had just spoken a word of exhortation to those who had professed belief in him. The bystanders were listening in. They were listening to what Jesus said to his new followers, and they were insulted. They answered him, that is the unbelievers who were standing in the crowd, "We are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? We will not have this man to reign over us." They considered themselves at that time a superior race. They looked down on all other races as despised Gentiles. For them, freedom was a matter of race. It was a matter of status. It was a matter of position. Religion even, that of the Jewish religion. "We're not in bondage to any man. We're born of Abraham." And this statement, though, was even more incredible when we consider it was said at the time when the Jewish nation actually were under the jurisdiction of the Romans. But as I said earlier, this view is not really confined to the Jews only. It is the cry of the proud human nature of every nation. How can you say you will be made free? By nature, we consider ourselves free to live our lives according to our own standards. We never want to admit that we are in bondage to anyone. This is the spirit of the age. This is the age of so-called freedom. Freedom of morals and lifestyle and dress and culture and restraint. Freedom to live, to be who I want to be, who I feel I should be, to be myself. Freedom from discipline and correction and commitment and responsibility. Freedom of film censorship. Freedom of web contact. Freedom of shopping, even when it means you go into debt. Free to dictate our lives according to our own philosophy of life. Free to lust, free to abort, free to get into debt, free to express yourself in whatever manner you think. Free to watch whatever your human nature desires. free to be yourself and look after number one. And most of all, free from God, free from the truth of God's word. Because the truth of God's word actually convicts us. Because truth hurts. Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. But if we are going to know the truth, it means that we'll know the truth about ourselves. We'll not only know the truth about God, we'll know the truth about ourselves. And what is a very interesting trend in society today is that the more people speak about freedom, and the more the government is making legislations to name of so-called freedom, they at the same time are trying to legislate and to clamp down on the truth. And that's what happens in society. Whenever we worship the God of self and the God of the mind and the God of the old nature, the human nature, the fallen nature, and say, we are free through the fallen nature, to enable that to be a reality in the blindness of it, you have at the same time got to clamp down on the truth, to clamp down on the gospel. There has to be freedom of expression for everyone apart from a Christian. The freedom of expression for every other viewpoint except that that relates to the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. And so you see this work that goes on in society. We think we're free. But it's a freedom that actually closes its mind to the truth. And this is what Jesus is speaking about here. It is an outlook of life that bitterly resents any question that you are in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll be made free? And some of you this evening, you may be rising up against that. You might think, what do you say? I will be made free. I'm already free, to free to think as I want to think, to make decisions as I want to make. I'm going to go in my own way. I'm going to make my decisions in my life. I'm a free person. But this is an outlook on life, in society, that has no concept whatsoever of the real state of our human nature and the issues facing eternity. In the teaching of Jesus, you will notice how he addresses these issues of sin and slavery and eternity and freedom. Do you not realize that you are a sinner enslaved? Do you not consider the forever in your life, sin and eternity? Freedom, in all its true meaning and fullness for time and eternity, is only to be found in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so I would like us to follow the pattern of the teaching of the Lord Jesus on these vital issues this evening, just for a few moments. And we can see how the Lord Jesus addresses the issue of true freedom in three ways. Firstly, by way of exhortation. Secondly, by way of warning. And thirdly, by way of encouragement. Three ways. Jesus was the supreme teacher, and whatever Jesus says, I can tell you this evening, it is eternally worth listening to. So this is what Jesus says. John 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He was encouraging them. You've come to the truth. You've come to a realization of your own selves. You've come to a realization of the greatness and the majesty of God. You've come to a realization that you need a Savior, and I am that Savior, and you're willing to follow me. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. These are the words said to those that believe him. And he's encouraging them. You will know freedom. And where will you know the freedom? How will you know the freedom? You will know the freedom because the truth is going to make you free. Free. So, if you abide in my word. So, this is the word to a believer. Obedience is one of the key fruits of true conversion. I noticed the other day in reading how the Lord Jesus speaks about taking up your cross, but he says to take up your cross daily. It's a daily exercise. It's not something just symbolized by baptism and then that's it and you've made your point and away you go. Oh no. It's a daily exercise. There's a daily cross to bear in your union with Christ Jesus. And we're told to obey, to take up our cross and follow Christ wherever he will take us. And then the second thing, spiritual knowledge of the truth will bring forth the fruit of spiritual freedom. If you abide in my word, if you follow me, you are my disciples indeed. You can say that you are a disciple of Christ. You are a follower of Christ. And this is what's going to happen. The truth you will know, and this very truth that will make you free. This is called the freedom that's known by receiving the gospel in the mind and the heart. The truth about God. God is holy. The truth about ourselves, we are unholy. The truth about salvation, it is Jesus only. It is Christ alone, by faith alone, by the word alone. It is by grace alone, by faith alone. And you will find the truth about living the Christian life. And so the answer Jesus is saying to his disciples, it's not as you were before, running away from the truth. The way to freedom is to embrace the truth by faith. And as you embrace the truth by faith, you enter into this way of freedom. Actually, it is the true Christian who are the truly liberated people in this world. We're not enslaved by Satan. We're not to be enslaved by the world. We're free in Christ Jesus. We're liberated. Our minds are being emancipated, liberated from the bondage of the world and the slavery of sin. And our minds are being emancipated to enter in to a truth that endures forever. Secondly, by way of warning. Jesus teaches his truth first by way of exhortation. Wholeheartedly put your trust in him. Abide in his word and you will be free. Secondly, by way of warning. Remember, by nature we are slaves of sin. We are in bondage to Satan. So in verse 33, Jesus said, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. So what society is teaching today is not freedom. It's actually making people go further and further and further and further into slavery. The slavery of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. But a son abides forever. In Christ Jesus, in his house, we find freedom. Now the words of Jesus here form one of the great leveling statements of all scripture. Whatever nationality we are, we all come under the reality of this statement. By nature we all commit sin, and by nature we are all a slave of sin. Sin does not provide freedom, it enslaves us. It separates us from God. We cannot abide in the presence of God forever in his house as a slave of sin. So here Jesus has particularly warned the Pharisees who thought they were already right with God, but they were not. They were slaves of sin because they were not in a right relationship with God on their way to heaven. They were not dwelling in the house of the Lord forever as a son. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because they remained under the condemnation of the law. They sought to make themselves right with God through the law, and they will never find freedom that way. They remained under the law, but not under grace. So they could not say with forefather David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because their forefather David and their great forefather Abraham understood faith, understood grace. They were not of the faith of their forefather Abraham, who looked forward to the same Messiah. They both had the same faith in the name of the Lord. David and Abraham, they looked by faith to the same Messiah. By grace, they were saved through faith. And so David could say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever as a son. And the freedom was found as they both, Abraham and David, had their hope fixed on the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so the second aspect here is by way of warning. Jesus says to us this evening, and he speaks the truth, by nature, we are slaves of sin, and we are in bondage to Satan. The third point this evening, it won't be a very long message this evening, but the third point is by way of encouragement. Jesus says to us, there is a way to freedom. Verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, there is freedom. It's the freedom that is found in the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The God of all grace has made a way possible that we can be made free through grace to receive a free gift of salvation in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do not have to work for it and earn it. We simply have to acknowledge what we are before God. We have to come and repent of our sin and turn around. Brother Luke was explaining this to the children this afternoon. Walking in one direction, turning around, walking in another direction. That is repentance. It's an about turn. We're walking towards hell. And we come under conviction of sin. And we cry out to a holy God, Lord, save me in Christ Jesus the Lord. And we turn around and our eyes are fixed on Jesus by faith. And as we come to Jesus, and as we bow down before him, and we look to him, and we cry, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Jesus is mighty to save. And we begin to find a freedom. We begin to find an emancipation in our minds. Oh, the first thing is the freedom of guilt. That we're taken, the guilt is taken away. Oh, what a freedom that is. The guilt of our sin is dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ. That burden of sin, as Bunyan speaks of in Pilgrim's Progress, it rolls off down the hill. As we look to the cross, we find a freedom, a liberty, a liberation. We're free from the condemnation of the law. We're free from the wrath of God. We're free from the enslavement of sin. We're free from the humanistic drive of the world. We don't have to go along this broad road to destruction as the Lord's people. We are swimming against the tide. And we're not a driven people anymore. We're a led people. Notice how many times this is spoken of in Scripture. We read of it in Psalm 23, how the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, He leadeth me. He leadeth me. That means He's going before us. We're following Him. But that's not what Satan does. Satan drives us. I think I shared this illustration with you some while ago, but there was a trip to Israel, to Jerusalem once, and a coach trip where they were taken off to see a particular site, and the guide had been speaking about how the shepherd always goes before the sheep and leads the sheep, goes in front in that particular country. And when they looked out of the coach window, they saw a shepherd, or a man, who wasn't going before the sheep. He'd got a stick, and he was driving the sheep. The sheep were going before him. And so they asked the guide, well, you know, what's happening? You said to us that a shepherd leads the sheep in this land. But this man is driving the sheep, and he's got this big stick. Oh, he said, he's taking them to market. He's driving them to the market to be sold and to be killed. And that's what Satan does. He's driving the unbeliever. But the Lord Jesus is going before us. He's leading those that trust in Him. And there we find, as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, as He goes before us, there's freedom, there's security. There's freedom from the approval of man. We don't need to be approved by man. We want the pleasure of the Lord. We want the well done of the Lord. We don't want the well done of man. If we want the well done of man, God will give that to us. This is one of the big snares of preachers. They come down from the pulpit, they want someone to say, well done, or we like your sermon. Well, if we just want the well done of man, God will give it to us. Plenty of people will say thank you for your sermon, and they're quite sincere, but it may have helped them, but not really, really stirred them up in a deep way. What we really want to know is people really moved by the Word of God. And oftentimes, when you are moved by the Word of God, you can't even put it in words, and you can't even tell the minister about it in any case. And this is one of the ways I've had to counsel a young minister recently. And got into the snare of always looking for the well done of men. When actually, what we need is the well done of God, the approval of God. And there are times when we minister the Word of God, and it can be a challenging message, it can be a convicting message, and we aren't going to get the well done of men. We're actually going to get the rebuffs, and we're going to get people like saying, oh, I didn't like that, because the old nature will not like that. So we mustn't expect always to get the well done. And if we're going to preach the truth, we're liberated from the approval of man. We're liberated as Christians, as we follow Jesus, from the dominion of sin, from the dominance of the old nature. And we have the freedom to obey the Lord with a willing mind and a heart, to worship God alone in spirit and in truth. Freedom from the materialistic demands of the world. Freedom to live and to love unselfishly. Freedom to experience peace and joy despite our circumstances. This is marvelous. This is wonderful. This is not triumphalism. This is reality. That you can be going through a very deep trial, and yet you can rejoice in the Lord. This is the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, which keeps your heart and minds in Christ Jesus the Lord. It's something wonderful. It's something special. It's something unique to a Christian. This is freedom. When the circumstances do not dictate all your life, because there is a God who rises above, who is above the circumstances. And even in the deepest valley, you can look up and you can pray. The freedom to experience peace and joy despite our circumstances. Freedom to live empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Paul says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is where the freedom is. Free indeed. This is a very deep expression. The Lord Jesus is not saying here, you shall be free only. He's saying, you shall be free indeed. That means absolutely, certainly, assuredly, you will be free. Now you cannot free yourselves from the slavery of sin and this world, but you can be free through Christ. And here Jesus promises a sure and definite freedom. And how can you receive this gift of freedom, this gift of salvation provided for us by God in Christ Jesus? How can you be made free this evening? Well, throughout the scripture, and specifically in the New Testament, whereupon we have the instructions on preaching the gospel, very clearly we have this command. You must repent of your sin. There is no freedom without repentance. So there is a command, but then there's an invitation to come in faith to Jesus Christ, to trust in Him as Savior and Lord. And when you turn in repentance from sin, and by faith you look to Christ alone as your Savior and Lord, God forgives your sin, He cleanses you, He gives you a new nature and a spiritual life, He gives you a heart that resonates with Himself, a desire to fellowship with Him, He prepares you of His free grace in life, to dwell at the end of your life forever in heaven. This is the gift of God, which is eternal life, a glorious eternal future in heaven. And all this is possible because of God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. All because of what Christ said and what Christ did on behalf of sinners. This is where true freedom is found this evening. In Christ making us free. We cannot free ourselves, but as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the one who breaks the shackles of Satan. You remember in the account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the fiery furnace, and the king came, and he looked in that fiery furnace. From afar off, it was so hot. And he said, did I not command three people to be thrown in the furnace? And there are four. And what's more, they are walking about. And what's more, there are no ropes upon them. We put ropes on them. And yet they're walking about like they're on the beach at the sea. They are free. They're walking about. And the fourth, to my mind, looks to me, it reminds me of the Son of God. There's an angel there, but it reminds me of the Son of God. Now, what was going on in that king's mind, we don't know. But something he realized, that God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the only things that were burned were the ropes that Satan had motivated people to put around them. And with Christ, in fellowship with Christ, they were walking in the furnace. and they were free. And this is what Jesus is teaching us this evening. The truth shall make you free. If you will but submit to the truth of the Word of God, you will find it is the pathway to freedom, because it leads you to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the light of the world. He is the light of truth. He is the way to freedom. And so we hear so much about freedom in this day and age in which we live. But true freedom is really found and only found in the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Occasionally, I go with Brother Jim and also we take Rob with us to Headcorn Airdrome on a Tuesday afternoon or a Monday afternoon now. And we like to go and see the planes, and we have a couple of hours there, a cup of tea. We sit there and we watch the planes. And generally speaking, there are parachutists there. And there are people with cameras. And what it is that for so much money, you can be strapped to another professional parachutist, and you can have this experience of freedom in the air. You jump out of a plane at 15,000 feet. And you float back down to the ground. But you see, these people who are doing it for the thrill of it, for the freedom of it, they're strapped to a professional. They wouldn't be so foolish as to jump out of a plane without any experience, just for the fun of it. But those people that do hang gliding, you'll notice that on the side of the hill, they keep checking their ropes and making sure they're not tangled before they take off. We were watching them the other day, Dunstable Downs, and they were spending very great care in making sure their parachute was in good order. There were no holes in it. There were no tangles in it. They were not going to jump off the side of that hill without taking care of what they were trusting. And yet people entrust their lives to the wisdom of this world, and it's full of holes. It's all tangled up. And you know, looking at this picture, if you want to know security, if you really want to sail to the ground safely, and you want to know freedom, you need to be strapped by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be with Him, united to Him. That is where security is. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. God's parachute. God's wings. And they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And you give them drink from the rivers of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light.